हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो नाउ अर्जुन इज जस्ट टोल्ड उर्वशी दैट इवन दो यू नो शी मे हैव अप्रोच्ड विद सम आइडिया, but he was just looking at her because he's thinking, oh, here's one of our, you know, the heads of our dynasty, right? She was the queen for Kuru Ravas, and then their child, down came the Kuru dynasty. So then Urvasi smiled, says, oh, son of Indra, we of the heavenly realms are not fettered by human morality. You need not see me as a superior. I have sported with other sons and grandsons of the Puru dynasty without incurring sin. Because for them, it's just, they're just coming in. It's just for them, it's in a day. So it's not for Arjuna, it's thousands of years, but for them, it could be a few weeks, you know, like that, or, you know, some months, or, you know, like that. Because if you're living there for so long, these things is just, they're on a different time frame. Because they're enjoying the results, just like, let's say, you're at work, and then, you know, so you have so many duties you have to do, and so many considerations. But now, let's say you go to, you have a vacation, right? And in vacation, you go for a few weeks. And during those few weeks, then you don't have all the rules of your work to restrain you. Therefore, you can, you know, you don't have to, oh, no, you know, 10 o'clock I have to be in the office, no, or 9 o'clock, no. Then you can go out, go to the beach, go to the spa, go for a drive. You know, you're not fettered by those things. Be favorable towards me. I am burning with desire and feel devoted to you. Do not reject me, for that is not the practice of virtuous men. Right? But Arjuna could not change his attitude. Oh, beautiful lady, hear what I tell you, and let the four directions and all the celestials also hear. You are not no different to me than Kunti, Madri, or Sachi. I bow my head to you as my mother. Please protect me as your son. After Arjuna has spoken in this way, right, because as we see is that they're very clear on what they say, you know, as we mentioned before. So she makes it clear why she's come. He made it clear why he was, you know, had looked at her, how he did. She now makes it very clear about their celestial position and all that. And again, really reiterates her desire. And he again makes the point, no, he just sees her as mother. So it's not like, oh, well, we'll just keep talking and all that. Because as we said, everything's straightforward. After Arjuna had spoken in this way, it was clear to Urvasi that he was firm in his determination, right? Because that was also one of his qualities. It's just how he's so focused, firm, does everything righteously. So he sees this as a righteousness. And so he's not going to budge from that. Even though, yes, in the heavenly planets, it may not be. But for him, in his position as a human, then it is, right? So that's going to remain for him, right? For others, they may not care. Like we say, others would go to the heavenly planets, wouldn't even come back. But he's there, and he's always worried about his brothers. Rejected and insulted, right? She became angry, because that's what Bharat Muni makes the point, that the proper response of a girl is neglected when she should be dealt with properly. She becomes angry. We won't get another thing. You know, that's the first thing, is anger. Then you might get other emotions, but the first is anger. With knitted brows and quivering lips, she exclaimed, as you insult a woman who has come to you at your father's command and out of her own desire. Right? So it's not that, oh, okay, your father said, and you're not into it, I'm not really into it, so it's cool. You know, like that. A woman pierced by Cupid's arrows, so that's what it means, that's out of her own desire. You shall lose your manhood and live as a dancer in the company of women. Right? So live as a dancer in the company of women, but that generally means that he's a dancer in the company of women. Then there's always going to be superior women who will control him, you know, when to dance, what to dance, and all these things. Oh, Arjuna, you shall become a eunuch and lose all respect. With that, Urvasi turned and left Arjuna, right? So they don't hang around and all that, and after saying all that, and then ask, can I use the bathroom, or stuff like that. No, they just go. Arjuna thought carefully. Surely Indra must have known that this would happen. Why then had he asked Chitrasena to send Urvasi to him? Arjuna went at once to Chitrasena and told him what had transpired, repeatedly mentioning the curse, you know, because that's an important point in this whole pastime. Chitrasena then went to Indra and informed him of the situation. Indra called for Arjuna and spoke to him in private. O best of men, because you are her son, Kunti is the most glorious mother. You have defeated even the rishis by your self-control and patience, right? Because we see of other sages that these great apsaras have come, and they fall down. But here, the best of them, Urvasis, come to Arjuna, and he maintained his composure, his determination. So he's done what so many great rishis cannot do. So it makes him, you know, so much more powerful. So he's just pointing out that Kunti is such a fortunate mother to have such a powerful and focused son. Do not worry, Urvasi's curse will be for your own good and will prove useful. You will need to pass your final year of exile incognito. At that time, Urvasi's curse will take effect, and living as a eunuch, no one shall discover you, right? Because otherwise, how do you hide Arjuna? Right? The other ones you might be able to hide. Bhima will be a little hard, but you know, he'll hide in the kitchen. So then cooks are always big. Cooks are big, strong, and that he's in the kitchen, then people just think he's a cook. But Arjuna, you know, his gracefulness, his poise, his beauty, he has the same color as Krishna and that, you know, so how will you hide him? So he has to be someplace where he won't be seen. Like the cooks in the kitchen, you don't see him. The brothers, one will be with the cows, one will be with the horses. Nobody's going to see them, right? Except for the people that work there. But other kings, this, that, are not going to see. Spies are not going to go look in the goshal or the kitchen. Like Draupadi is going to be in the inner chambers. And Arjuna now will be in the inner chambers. Like that. You shall again regain it, his manhood, at the end of that period, right? So she is giving that curse, but now Arjuna's saying it'll happen just during this year. So the curse is there. He wanted the curse to be there. Right, because it does two things. I mean, he could have just arranged it anyway, but now it shows what his position is, what his prowess is, that even other sages can't do this. And so it glorifies Arjuna, and everybody's going to hear about this, because everyone knew, everyone talks. Gandharvas talk. That's what they do. So they talk. Everybody's going to know the prowess of Arjuna and how powerful. Arjuna was relieved. The Pandava then stopped worrying about the curse and continued to live happily in the heavens with his father, Chitrasena. Right? So he learned from his father, now he's learning from Chitrasena and that, and so then this way everything goes nice. Chapter 26, Bhadarikashram. In Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra sat in his chamber, his head in his hands. As time passed, he was becoming increasingly anxious. Right? This is him the whole time. Duryodhana is probably, you know, happy as Larry, right? But here is that he's not. He's always in anxiety because he knows it's wrong. He's just attached to his son. You know, it's just like the guy is smoking, you know. He knows it's wrong, but he's attached. But he knows it's going to have problems for his health. So Dhritarashtra knows this is going to create problems. What would happen at the end of the Pandavas' exile? Would they not return with blazing weapons to seek vengeance? Right? Because before, when he let them go the first time, being who they were, because Dhritarashtra desired it, that they would forget and forgive, they would have. But now, then no, it's a different thing. He didn't say forgive them, so it's not working under anything there. And you know, they've made that Duryodhana's, you know, through Shakuni, he's made his promise that we'll take your kingdom now. When you come back, we'll give it back to you. And so now that's not going to happen. And so then he knows that's not going to happen. So therefore, on justice, they have to fight for it. Well, the previous thing, it was not a matter of justice so much there, because it was just the desire of Dhritarashtra. Like that. How would any of the Kauravas survive? If only Duryodhana would give up his envy, right? It depends on if Duryodhana gave up his envy, then, you know, Dhritarashtra would go along. But the point is him giving up his envy is like saying, you know, a snake will give up its poison or something, you know. Birds will stop flying or like that. Yudhishthira would certainly live peacefully with his cousins if they were willing to share the kingdom. But that seemed unlikely because Duryodhana is not. It appeared, right, because he already took half the kingdom before and was that. It appeared that nothing could change Duryodhana's attitude. Even he could not sway him. Dhritarashtra's anxiety doubled when he heard from Vyasadeva that Arjuna had gone to the heavens to obtain weapons, right? Because now it gets even more. Seeking comfort, the king called Sanjaya, and when he was seated before him, he said, "Have you heard anything more about Arjuna's activities?" That powerful hero has ascended to heaven in his own body, right? Who does that? You have to go in a celestial body. "My son is Arjuna's sworn enemy. Their enmity will surely destroy the world." That means the Kshatriya world as they know. "Aided by Arjuna, Yudhishthira can conquer the three worlds. Who among mortals can stand before Arjuna as he rains down virulent arrows?" Right, so he's getting the weapons from the demigods themselves. So that means his qualification is so much greater, so his ability to use them will be so much. Well, Karna got celestial weapons, you know, and that from Parasaram. But then he didn't have the character and all that, so he won't be able to use them. And by the curse of Parasaram, when he most needs it, he won't be able to use it. Like when he doesn't really need it, he can use them. But when he actually needs it, he won't be able to use them. So there's no question of Arjuna not being the greatest. Tears flowed from the king's blind eyes as it continued. "I do not see my son becoming successful, even though Bhishma, Drona, and Karna support him. None of these warriors can equal Arjuna, the infallible Krishna's friend. The man who can slay Arjuna does not exist, nor can anyone live long enough after coming within the range of his arrows. It seems to me that our armies have already fled in all directions upon hearing the fearful rumble of his chariot wheels. Surely Brahma created that hero to destroy our race." You know, he's thinking, oh, he's disrupted. Like that, it's all that, what can we do? This is the way it is. But he's not taking it that you made all this nonsense. You could have ordered, as before, ordered your son, as the Rishi said, right? Markandeya Rishi said, he ordered that you order your son to go to the forest and live with the Pandavas for the next 13 years and serve them. Then the curse won't take place. But if he doesn't, the curse is there, right? And we have to remember, I think it's Markandeya is also one of the few rishis that also when the apsaras came down, he didn't get disturbed, right? So when that someone of that power makes a curse, it's going to happen. And so he said, this is the only solution. It's not going to happen. Sanjaya said nothing. He had heard the king make similar statements on many occasions, right? Whenever he's lamenting, he says the same thing. But still, Dhritarashtra did nothing to control his sons. He says all this, what can we do, it's fate and this, but do something. No, he won't. It was as if he was hoping that Duryodhana and his followers would defy the inevitable outcome of their sinful activities. You know, he's just thinking, they've done all this nonsense, but somehow or another they'll get around it. He's just hoping, maybe. The old king was no fool, but he was so attached to his son that he allowed his attachment to overpower his reason. After some moments, Sanjaya said, "Oh king, your words are all true," right? Because he says all these things. And he's not going to tell him, you said this, and he's not going to say these things that we just heard. He's going to say, your words are all true. Nothing you have said is wrong, right? Because that Arjuna is going to come back, they're going to be very upset. When they come back, they're going to destroy everything. Duryodhana is not going to change. That's all true. When they saw their wife insulted in the hall, the Pandavas became consumed by wrath. "I do not see how they will ever forgive your sons. I have heard from Vyasadeva that Arjuna satisfied the immortal Shiva and received from him his weapons. Your race now faces disaster." Right, so he being a disciple of Vyasadeva, then, you know, he will be privy to all these kind of things because he has that kind of qualification. As we see later, he will speak the Bhagavad Gita, you know, to what is recited by Krishna to Arjuna and the whole scene there, because he can actually see it within his heart. It's revealed within his heart by Vyasadeva's grace. So then these are the things of where Arjuna and all these things like that, by Vyasadeva's grace, he's able to appreciate. Dhritarashtra continued to lament. The annihilation of the Kauravas was certain, he said. Allied with Krishna, the Pandavas were invincible, right? Because just the two of them means when the demigods can't destroy the demons, that they call in Narayan Rishi, two people, and those two people wipe out everything. Right? So even if it was the two of them, Duryodhana had all the armies of the world, they'd still win. You see, Jarasandha would come to Mathura, right, those 17-18 times, he would bring one Akshauhini of soldiers. And then Krishna alone, he'd go out with a little small army, just, you know, because you're supposed to. They would not get one scratch on them. And every last person on Jarasandha's side was killed. Everything. Everybody. Nothing left. Only him standing there alone, even no chariot. He has to walk back to his kingdom. Right? So, and that's just Krishna alone. Only Krishna would fight. And we see Arjuna then took on the demigods and all this and that. So just the two of them is enough. So that's why he's just saying this much, let alone if they have an army also. Duryodhana and Karna were the causes of the calamity he now faced. O Sanjaya, when I hear that my armies have been crushed by Arjuna and Bhima, I, forever obedient to Duryodhana's desire, shall then recall all the good advice my well-wishers have gave me, which I should have heeded, right? Because now he can't because of attachment. But when he's heard that you know, all Duryodhana, his whole armies, everything, and Duryodhana is killed, everybody's gone. Bhishma, Drona, everything. Then I will remember at that moment, oh, everything that they told me that I should have done. With a wry smile, Sanjaya replied, again you have spoken the truth. Saying, yes, you're speaking the truth. You do not care for good advice. Therefore, it is only for your own fault that you now lament. You could have stopped Duryodhana, but you chose not to do so. Now we shall all suffer the reaction. Dhritarashtra fell silent. He now felt that the events were beyond his control. You know, he's always saying, oh, it's beyond my control, now it's just fate. But even before he starts, like before the gambling match, oh, it's fate. The second gambling match before that, oh, it's always fate. Afterwards, when he's thinking, oh, now everything's bad and they'll destroy everyone and all this, then, oh, it's fate. You know, so he always just, he'll act to support Duryodhana's desires, but he'll never act to go against that. He'll just say, oh, it's fate. But, you know, what to do? That's the point problem with attachment. The intelligence doesn't, your reason becomes overpowered. Like that. All other things you may be very good where there's not, doesn't have that attachment, but where the attachment is, well, reason may not work so perfectly. It was true, he was too attached to Duryodhana. He could not refuse his son anything. His half-hearted attempts to check Duryodhana were simply a waste of time. His sons laughed at his weakness, right? So they take advantage, they get what they want done, but then they laugh at how weak he is. That's the problem with the demoniac mentality. They're never grateful. Even your consideration, you're trying to help, like that, it may be sentimental, but they should be grateful. No, they just laugh, oh, you're weak. They take advantage and then, oh, you're weak. This is the demoniac mentality. They knew they could sway him at the end. The blind king held his forehead and sighed. Would he ever see his son seated on the emperor's throne? That right had become his only due to Pandu's retirement. If only Duryodhana could win the right for himself. But how? Destiny seemed all-powerful. Feeling helpless, the king remained awake throughout the night, as he had on so many occasions. Okay, so end here, and we'll see what happens now that we've seen how Dhritarashtra feels these things, and we'll see what happens. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.